Christian, they might expect you to react in a certain way, which is why they're actually talking to you about something. And that actually can be a positive thing, that they see the good things. So not all expectations are negative, but I guess the title of these series are Expectations versus Identity. So it shows that sometimes these things can be in competition with each other. And obviously the negative expectations can cause, you know, difficulty for us. And so that's one of the reasons we want to look at this, is because identity is so important. It's so vital to know who we are. And it can be such a challenge when our identity is being challenged because of expectations that are being put on us. Do we understand that? And you know, the devil is up to these tricks all the time. In Matthew 3, verse 17, we read the account of where Jesus has just been baptized, okay? As he's coming out of the water, what happens? Any of you remember? Here's a voice. It's God's voice. Who knows what God says? This is my son with whom I am well pleased. As Jesus comes out of the water, God says, this is my son. And I am well pleased with him, right? So this is my son. He's recognizing and he's hearing his identity or his sonship. What happens next? He gets baptized, hears God's voice. He then goes into the desert where he is tempted by the devil in three different ways. Have we heard that story? This is what the devil says to him. On two occasions in that story, the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then do this. See what the devil's doing there? He's questioning who Jesus' identity is. Jesus has just been told, this is my son, you are my son, and I am well pleased. In the next instant, the devil is saying, if you are the Son of God. In other words, trying to question his identity. The devil has been doing that all the way through history. Go back to Adam and Eve in Genesis. We read this. This is what the devil says to Eve. Did God really say that you must not eat any of the food in the garden? Well, no, God didn't say that. Actually, God said you can eat all of the food in the garden, just not of the one tree. Again, you see, this is what the devil does. He twists things. And he does it because he wants to challenge our identity and to question who we are. Our identity in God is so vital that we know who we are. But the devil will want to question that. One of the ways that we begin to question our identity is when expectations from others begin to pile onto us. Do we understand that? That's why we're calling it expectation versus identity, because there can be this challenge to our identity in it. Now, friends are great. We love them. We'd be such less people without them. And God intends us to have friendships, and they can be beautiful and wonderful things. And, you know, the fact that we're humans, our friends can hurt us as well. They don't mean to, and, you know, things can be said and it can be difficult. But friends do place expectations on us, which cause conflict for us. And some of those things you've mentioned are great. And I can't pick up on all of them. I'm just going to pick up on about four negative expectations that I think our friends can have on us. And they're all fitting with some of the stuff that you were saying, particularly about fitting in. The whole point of kind of this term peer pressure that you will have heard is the pressure to actually fit in. And none of us want to not fit in, do we? None of us really want to be out on the edges, because that's a hard place to be. So how can we challenge this conflict of these negative expectations that our friends might put on us? I'm afraid I haven't got any PowerPoint, so you can't see this, so you have to either just remember it or write it down. But when I was about, 10 years old, me and my friend John decided we'd go and burn newspapers. Why wouldn't we? You know, I loved playing with fire. So we literally, for like 2 weeks, collected all the newspapers that came to our houses. We met up one Saturday morning and we were like, right, let's go and find a field and just set fire to all these newspapers. And we were both like egging each other on, and we got there and I said, I had a brilliant idea, why don't we do it near this pond that we knew was in our village. Because then if anything goes wrong, there's water, was what I was thinking. So we start like just burning these newspapers by this pond. And behind us is a cornfield. And this is in the middle of summer as well. And don't worry, it doesn't end as you're thinking it might do. It wasn't quite that dramatic. That would be a brilliant story, but it wasn't. Anyway, as we're lighting these newspapers, my friend suddenly says, I can see someone coming down the track. And I'm like, oh, don't worry, he's not going to do nothing. So he's like, okay, so we carry on lighting these papers. This man walks right up to us and then begins to just start to, we don't have a clue who he is, and he starts telling us off, starts telling us that he's a fireman. I'm just like, oh my goodness, the one person I don't want to meet now is a fireman. And then after he'd gone, my mate goes, he knows my dad. And then we were both just like, oh no, and I was just like, we need to go. And I went home, and I was, for like weeks, me and my friend were panicking that this was going to get back to his dad. Thankfully, it never did. But you know, it's easy in friendship, isn't it, to egg each other on and want to be doing things, even if actually you know these things aren't good. These are some of the things I picked out, and these are might be some big generalisations, but I hope this is helpful. So drinking, you know, I think that is a massive expectation that gets put on you. You mentioned going to parties, and the expectation actually that you will get drunk is, you know, it's huge for you. You might not be at that stage yet because you might think, ah, my friends aren't really into that at the moment. But when it happens, and it's hard. The pressure can be incredible. They might think that, oh, if you're not drinking, you're boring. You know, that's just ridiculous. You know, actually, people who say that are really immature because they have no idea what they're talking about. That doesn't make you boring. It just means that you're, you know, doing the right thing. But the right thing isn't always easy. Many of you might remember Lottie, who did a year out with us. Lottie used to play a lot of rugby at university, women's rugby. And, you know, rugby players like to go out drinking a lot. And she would go, but she would set a limit of this is how much, and then she wouldn't drink anything after that. And all of her friends used to, you know, be wanting her to do it, but she was like, no, I'm a Christian, I'm not going to do that. And you see, sometimes it's hard to be in that position when the expectation is that you will just do it. I'm going to come to how we can counter these things in a moment. Our speech, the things we say, gossip. It's hard to avoid gossip, isn't it? You know, your friends come up to you, oh, have you heard about so-and-so and so-and-so? Have you heard what's been going on? Before you know it, you've had a 10-minute kind of gossip about them. Swearing. You know, the things that come out of our mouths often reflect the things that are going on in our heart. And swearing, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but if we're praising God with our lips 1 minute and effing and blinding the next, what's that saying about who we are? I used to swear so much. I remember once swearing really loudly outside with my friends, and then suddenly the deputy head sticks his head out of his office and looks at me and heard me basically say the F word about 10 times in a shouting voice. And he just looked at me and was like, will you calm down, or whatever he said to me at that point. And I was just like, oh my word, that wasn't... And you know, shortly after that, I was a Christian at this point. Shortly after that, I thought, do you know what, I'm going to make a decision to not speak like that. I didn't suddenly become an angel, you know, but it was a conscious thing. Now I want to try and control my tongue a bit more in the things that I say, but again, it can be, there's an expectation that we'll join in with the gossip, we'll join in with the stories, we'll join in with the swearing, we'll be like that, and that's really hard for us. Sex and relationships, sadly, you know, getting into a relationship, none of that, that's not wrong, getting into a relationship with someone, but actually if you're only doing that because you feel there's an expectation that you should, then that's ridiculous. If you're only getting into a relationship because there's an expectation, oh, you haven't kissed anybody yet, that's ridiculous. If you're getting into it because your friends are pressuring you, do you know, sadly the church is really bad at that, and Christians are bad at that, where we, you know, find ourselves matchmaking. I've done it. I know I've done it. I've done it for Nick, like, for years. No, I did make a decision with Nick after a relationship that I kind of helped instigate went badly wrong. I said to Nick, Nick, I'm never going to match make. Although, the one he's going out with now, I have a hand in. But it was up to Nick to do all the hard work. I didn't put my all in once I'd introduced him. But actually, you know, it's true. It's true. There is this negative expectations. And actually, there's nothing wrong with not being in a relationship. In fact, you know, girls, you're not really worth it, to be honest. You're not worth the hassle. And guys, you know, financially, not worth it. Joking on that one. But, you know, my friend, my best mate as I was growing up, he couldn't believe that, you know, I was dating a girl, been out with her for a couple of years, and he could not believe that I hadn't slept with her. And I was like, I haven't, and I don't intend to. And, you know, we talked about it. And when he was asking me, should he sleep with his girlfriend, I said, well, I don't think you should. And he went, thanks for your advice. He did anyway. But, you know, I'm able to speak into that situation, my own opinion. Our time, we talked about time. I think that's another negative expectation. Actually, you know, we can't always give of our time to all of our friends all of the time. And actually, if our time is in conflict with other things, whether that's church or, you know, perhaps generator or other things, which, you know, actually I need those spiritual things in my week, then that can be a big pull. Peer pressure is a massive pressure for you. So what can we do about it? What does the Bible say about it? Proverbs 27, verse 17, great verse about friendship, which says, iron sharpens iron, right? You might think, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, friends are like iron. They sharpen each other up. That we, by sharpening someone up, it's like you're putting things in perspective for them. And actually, I want you guys to be the ones who are sharpening your friends up, not that your friends are sharpening you up. Do you understand what I mean? I want you to be the influencers, not the influenced. Because that's what we can be. We can be the ones. I've told you this story before, but I'll quickly tell it again. A friend of mine called Pete used to go out and get drunk all the time. His best friend used to go out with him. They'd go out to the clubs together. He would get drunk. His best friend wouldn't. At the end of the night, Pete was always so drunk that his best friend would carry him home, take him up to his house, help him go to the toilet, actually holding his willy, so because he was too drunk to stand still. It wasn't gay or anything. He just didn't want him to wee on the floor over his clothes. He'd then tuck him into bed, and then he'd leave. And he did that every time they went out for 2 years while they were at university. Every time. After 2 years, Pete turned to his friend and said, why do you keep doing this? And he's, because I love you, Pete, but because God loves you more. And do you know what? Pete became a Christian because of that. Because of what his friend did. Pete now is a minister in the Methodist Church. All because his mate was prepared to not get drunk with him, but to help him. And that leads on to 1 Timothy 4, where Paul encourages Timothy to be an example. Now he's saying be an example to the church, but you know, we're to be an example to our friends as well. That your friends might see that you're not, that you're still their friend. You're not judging them, you're not condemning them, you're with them, but you're not the same as them. That they might actually aspire to be like you rather than you like them. That's a hard place to be. The likelihood is you'll mess up at that sometimes. Boy, I know I did. And last of all, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. And you know, one of the best ways we can counter negative expectations is by showing our love for our friends. Like Pete's best mate did. Because he loved him, he didn't want to see him in that state. He was just prepared to give time to help him. But how can we help our friends? How can we show our love to them? Again, in a way that isn't judgmental, that isn't condemning them, but is saying, you know, look, we love you. No, I don't I don't want to do this. I don't want to have the expectation. I'm not going to join in with this gossip, but you know, I still love you. I'm not saying these things are easy, because they're not. But we have the best example. John 15:15 says that God no longer calls us servants, but calls us friends. And now I'm nearly out of time, but for 10 seconds, I just want you to think about this. God calls you his friend. God wants to be your mate. I know that sounds irreverent, but it's not. God wants friendship with you. And his friendship is the best example of love that we have. So much so that our friendship with Jesus is prepared to die for us, you know. So how do we counter the negative expectations? Well, I think with the positive actions of love and truth that God has placed in us by living in us. Jesus is our example of friendship. You know, he was friends with the most hated people in the communities. He was friends with prostitutes. He was friends with the lowest of the low. He was friends with tax collectors who everyone hated. He spoke to lepers. He spoke to the marginalised. He spent time with women who were not considered very high in society. In fact, he even allowed a woman to sit at his feet while he was teaching. Which doesn't sound much today, but that was shocking then. Jesus knew how to be a friend to people, and he's our example. But did Jesus ever give in to the expectations people had on him? No. Because he knew what his friendship with his relationship with his father. He knew his identity. And so last week Sam talked about our identity as God's children. We are his children, but our identity is also that we are his friends. And he's our example. Let's counter the negative expectations with the positive actions that we can. And for some of us, that will mean perhaps having to think through how we do that. I don't have all the answers. I don't know all your situations. And I don't think we'll get it right all of the time. But actually, we've got a God who can help us. I'm going to pray, then we're done. And then it's time for some drink. Squash drink. Not alcoholic. We'll cut this from the recording. Jesus, it is just so amazing that you call us your friends. Thank you that that's true. That can be reality for us. Help us to understand that more. Help us to be the kind of friend you are to us. To our friends here on this earth. And when our friends are placing expectations on us to do this, to dress this way, to drink, to get into a relationship, to have sex, whatever it might be, would we look to you as the true example of friendship? Would we counter the negative with the positive? Would we be a people who influence others rather than being influenced by them? Would we be the example? Would we be the ones that people aspire to be like? Not because of us, but because of you and who you are in us. Jesus, I thank you that our identity is in you as a son or a daughter and as a friend. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you for listening. Enjoy the last half an hour. And thanks for coming. We hope you've had a good time. Next week.